Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It is Tuesday, August 25th, 2015. I'm here in sunny Clearwater, Florida. Lovely early autumn day. Well, it's not quite autumn equinox yet, but, you know, I can tell when the sun is like at a different angle. So even if the temperature isn't quite getting cooler, I know my body somehow knows that autumn is coming. So today we're going to talk about something we've never talked about before on this show. And to introduce it, I just want to talk about an experience I had when I was a child, many times in my childhood, where I would just look up in the sky and I'd see this white, beautiful white line in the sky that was the given off by airplanes flying across the sky. And there would only be one line, and I would think it was so beautiful, that white line across the sky, and I would just watch those planes fly and see the line getting longer and longer and longer, and it was just a lovely childhood experience for me. And then recently, maybe within, I think it was about 2 years ago, this happened almost near sunset, right before the sunset. And I walked out of a building that I was in, and it was in a space where there was a lot of sky that I could see. And I looked at it, and there was like a checkerboard pattern. There were all these white lines in the sky, some of them going one direction, others going another direction. They were all crisscrossed. There was a whole lot of them. And I thought, what is that? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, chemtrails. And we're going to talk about it from a little different point of view than most information about chemtrails, because we're going to talk about what are they, what are the toxic chemicals, how are we being exposed, and how we can protect our bodies from the chemicals that are coming down to Earth from chemtrails. So my guest today is Diane Dirks. She's been on the show before. She's done a lot of research on chemtrails and other subjects that affect our health and well-being in this modern world. And so she's going to tell us what she's learned about chemtrails, and I'm going to add a few things of my own. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Deb. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you. So let's just start. What's happening in our skies?
Well, if you go out in the morning or any time you go outside, look up. Because either you'll see fluffy clouds that look rounded and vary in size and shape, or you'll see lines, like you're talking about, some thin, some fat, some just long lines of dots in the sky. Sometimes the sky is hazy, but it's unnaturally so. It doesn't look like it's just overcast. It looks different, mm-hmm. like gray. Or does it look like you were talking about the crisscross lines, which I call plaid sky?
Yeah, that's just what it looks like.
Yeah, and it's not very regular, but you can see it's crisscross, and you can see it sometimes all the way across the sky.
Yeah.
So those are things that are being put there. And a lot, there's a other kind of trails and lines, which are contrails, and they're different because the chemtrails, they hang in the sky, and they broaden out as time goes by. But the contrails are just ice particles that form off the end of a jet, and they dissipate. You know, you can just see them walk across the sky as you can.
It's an interesting thing because you see them being created at the front end by the airplane, and then you see them dissolving at the other end. And so it's
right.
Just like, yeah, yeah.
So those are fine. I mean, it's just water, and they're not harmful or anything. And you know, we see them all the time because they're up in the sky. So what we're being faced with right now is something that's actually being put there on purpose, and it's actually climate control. And some people are saying it's climate warfare, but it's also has an economic agenda and agricultural reasons and political reasons. For about 75 years, various states, in order to protect their agricultural interests, have been seeding clouds with silver iodide, which is called cloud seeding. And what it does is it makes the atmosphere congeal the water, and then it drops as rain, and then it falls on the agricultural land, and then we have, you know, we overcome things like drought and stuff. But chemtrails are different. They are atmospheric chemicals and heavy metals in tiny particle size, and they're sprayed as an aerosol at various levels in the sky by jets. Now, this is different. This is not the same as contrails, which are natural, or the agricultural seeding, although they do work together, the agricultural seeding and the chemtrails that we talk about in the high-level atmosphere, because both of those last two, they actually alter the environment. And, in fact, the government calls it geoengineering. In other words, the engineering the planet. And it's really nasty stuff. The stuff that's been sprayed for 75 years, that's toxic, too, that silver iodide. And it's been accumulating in the water, in the soil, for 75 years. And they've sprayed millions of tons of this stuff. And it's not natural, and it is toxic. And we have been absorbing it in our food, in our water, et cetera. But the stuff that they're spraying in the high level of the atmosphere is actually being sprayed so high up that it's between 43 and 150 miles above the Earth, called the ionosphere. And that is where the radio transmissions bounce off of. It's full of free electrons that have an energy bouncing effect. And that's where the chemtrails that are the really nasty ones are being spread. And they're made up of something called nanoparticles, which are extremely tiny, smaller than microscopic, actually. They're so tiny that there's nothing that can stop them falling through stuff. I mean, things like plastic and clothes and stuff, it just goes right through skin, it goes right through. And it's made of aluminum. Well, this is the basic formula, aluminum, barium, and strontium. But there's other stuff in there. Some of them are radioactive. Some of it's live virus. And it stays up there for quite some time, and then it clumps up, and eventually it falls to the earth. And then it's extremely toxic because our bodies are not meant to take care of those things. We have no way to filter them out or anything. So the silver compound that is been used by the states for 75 years is used to seed rain clouds to create rain, and it's sprayed about 20,000 feet up. And this stuff is usually sprayed across the line of flight of commercial jets in their flying corridors, and it condenses the vapor from the jet fuel and creates massive cloud formations. And the purpose of these two kinds are different, but they both are created with the blessings of the government. So we are having our atmosphere full of toxic chemicals for various reasons, and it's coming down and it's falling in our food and in our water and everything else.
That doesn't sound like a very good thing. You know, strontium, I think most people know that that's radioactive.
Most of it is, yes.
Yes. And so, anyway, well, that was a lot of information all at once.
I'm sorry. It's blah, blah, blah. Realize I've been studying this stuff for 5 years, because 5 years ago I was out working in a community garden and for 4 days, and it was very, very hot, like in the 90s and maybe 80 or 90% humidity. And the sky was plaid, and I didn't know what that was. And I got really, really messed up with the chemicals, but specifically the heavy metals. And it took me a while to figure out how to get healthy, and it took me 6 months of very heavy, heavy research and concentration of information. So we're going to share some of that with you today.
Yeah.
But they interest. Go ahead.
We need to go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about chemtrails and the toxic chemicals that we're exposed to and what we can do about them to protect our health. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diane Dirks. We're talking about chemtrails. Diane, when did they start spraying the higher-level ionosphere chemtrails?
Well, they actually had a treaty in 2012 that was global, and it was pretty much across the boards being agreed upon. It was under the false assumption that it would handle global warming, which many of us have the consideration that it's junk science, that's just political in nature, but that's when it started, that's when it was agreed upon globally, because you can go anywhere on the planet now and see chemtrails in the sky.
But didn't they start spraying prior to that in the United States?
You know, I couldn't find any information on when exactly that started. It's been so covert. You know, we've been seeing lines in the sky, but a lot of that was from the silver iodide, because mm-hmm. you see those in the sky fairly easily. As far as the high-level chemtrails that cause the most damage, it's just been blanked out. Nobody seems to know when it exactly started. So because it looks similar to what else is going on up there, it's really been hard for me to say exactly when that started.
So I know a lot of people think that this is just conspiracy theory, but what are some of the scientific references that you've looked at?
Okay, well, there have been some real serious documentaries about this. One is called What in the World Are They Spraying? Another one by the same people is called Why in the World Are They Spraying? That covers all that. You can go online and you can get the full free, you can watch the whole documentary. It's about an hour and a half, something like that, and get that information. And it really is so much information, I don't want to go into it today.
Right.
But it's a wonderful, it really goes into it and why it is and how they do it. And they've got pictures of the insides of jets where they've got these huge tanks. And, you know, it's been going on, but this was a very thorough documentary. I think they did a good job of it.
Yes, they did. I haven't seen all of them, but I've seen parts of those, both of them. So then, what are the toxic chemicals that we're exposed to from chemtrails, and how are we exposed? Because didn't you say that they were like 150 miles up in the sky?
Did
I get that number wrong?
Yes, that's the average of the height of those that are sprayed, although the ionosphere goes up 225 miles up into the sky. But where they're primarily spraying is about 150 miles up. And the basic mixture is nanoparticles, you know, these little tiny particles of aluminum, barium, and strontium. But they also have, some people have collected samples of them with live virus and even plutonium and uranium. It's quite a bit of it's radioactive. So that's what's up there. And the way we're exposed to it is by going outside or just breathing the air, because they clump up. Eventually they fall from the sky in little clumps, but they're still very tiny. And they just go right through your skin. There's no protection from them, and it goes into the water supply. And if there was any attempt from the very beginning to make this safe for people, whatever they were considering, they weren't thinking about nanoparticles falling from the sky. I guess they just thought they'd stay up there forever or something. But what goes up comes down.
It sounds kind of incredulous, although, I mean, for something to fall 150 miles down through the air, down to the earth. So logically, I think that we might think that it would just stay up there. But there have been, I mean, people are measuring this material. I've seen film of people taking measurements of these toxics that have come from the sky, and there is, that's obviously like seeing the evidence of the sky, of these in the sky, and then afterwards measuring the difference in the ordinary background air and then, or water or whatever, and then seeing the effects of them on plants and these kinds of things. So,
well,
so
I'll tell you one
well
thing that
established.
I wanted to just back that up with,
sure.
You know, we have whole areas of our country where our forests are dying, and people have gone in there, you know, you know, professors and scientists and stuff, and they've measured the aluminum in those trees and in the water, and it's just so far out of range of anything that could possibly be normal, like thousands of times more than normal. And this is coming from the chemtrails. There's no other resource that would put that much in, because they're literally spraying millions of tons of this stuff in the sky every year, every month, actually. So it's huge amounts, and it clumps up in the atmosphere because it gathers together because of electrical charge, and then it does fall down in larger particles, although as nanoparticles, they're still smaller than microscopic size.
So we're coming up on break, so I know that we both want to make this point, because we talked about this before, that even if you are not seeing evidence in chemtrails in the sky, like the plaid sky, does that mean that there's no chemtrail chemicals falling on you at that moment?
Absolutely not. It's constantly falling. And it's always going into the food supply. So you're getting exposed, whether you see it or not. It's either coming directly towards you from the sky, or it's getting into your food, and you're eating it or you're drinking it in the water, because there's nothing that filters it out.
I'm considering that statement about nothing that filters it out. I'll have to talk to Igor, who makes the Pure Effect water filters, and see what he says about particle size. But if it's I don't know.
And I'm just saying naturally, when it comes out of the sky,
nothing's taking it.
Yeah.
But I don't think any water filter filters out nanoparticles. So
no.
That would be that. So because of this, now when we talk about, we only have a few seconds left, but when we talk about organic food, for example, we're talking about what's not being put on the crops, like there's no pesticides and there's no synthetic fertilizers and things like that. But organic food production can't control something that's falling out of the sky. That's just part of the natural, part of the background environment. And so even though organic food is safer, it's not 100%.
No, we have no more. There's no such thing anymore as pure food. It doesn't exist.
And there's no such thing. I mean, I already knew many years ago that there's no place that you can go on Earth that isn't polluted by pesticides.
That was already
known before I was born, actually.
We're contaminated.
We live in a contaminated world. And this is an important thing to keep in mind as we talk later about detox. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diane Dirks. And we'll be back to talk more about chemtrails, how they affect the chemicals affect your health, and what you can do to detox them from your body. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diane Dirks. She is a certified permaculture designer. She studied a lot of different things that have to do with understanding how nature works, and has been an organic gardener for 45 years. And so she has a lot of interests and is a good researcher. So Diane, you know, I was thinking during the break that you mentioned earlier that you had your own experience of being sick and tracing it down to chemtrails, and then doing the things that you're going to be telling us about in the next segment to detox your body. But what I was thinking was that there are many things like where people who have identified the source of their illness, like people who are chemically hypersensitive or EMF hypersensitive, I've not heard of any syndrome or illness or anything that is associated with chemtrails, you know, chemtrail syndrome or anything. But I think it's probably happening, and that people aren't even knowing about it yet.
I agree. I know it is, because it's heavy metal poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
And it has so many manifestations. It comes out, it looks so, like so many different things. And oftentimes,
how these chemicals affect your health. Tell us about that.
Well, we have these eliminating organs in the body, like the kidneys that strain out the, you know, the liquid, and the liver that is the chemical factory and supposed to separate all the bad stuff and get rid of it, and the lungs, which expel stuff, you know, that's bad for you. Even the reproductive organs are used to get rid of toxins and poisons and things like that. And the problem is that these particles are so tiny that they accumulate in weird parts of the body. So you don't, wherever they accumulate, they're going to cause trouble. And the things that, the organs that I just mentioned that are supposed to filter them out and get rid of them, they are poisoned themselves. So they're not functioning well.
And well, so I'd just like to interject here that it's not just from chemtrails. I mean, we're being exposed to so many toxic chemicals in the world. And I mean, there are so many things that we can do in our own homes, and we should do those things. But once you step out of your home, you are being exposed to these things in public places and cars and wherever it is that you're going, where people are not controlling toxic chemicals. And when these chemicals, even in their regular particle size, get into your body, then it's like your liver and your kidneys and your lungs, all these functions are getting bombarded with these toxic chemicals on a daily basis. And that if we're not doing something to help these organs, which we're going to talk about in the next segment, if we're not doing something to help these organs, then they're not going to be able to do their jobs. And then
that's
something
right.
Like chemtrails comes along, and it's like they're already overloaded.
That's right. And from a diagnostic viewpoint, if you are going to your doctor because you feel like crud all the time, where do you start looking? Because you're already living in a toxic world, and there are so many sources of toxicity that I doubt very seriously if anybody's come up with the idea of it being a specific syndrome or anything else. It's just that we are seeing such a high incidence now, and actually epidemic proportions of cancer and autoimmune and all these other things, which if you scrape down to the bottom of it, it's toxic. It's a toxic situation. And so we're not only getting chemical toxicity, but we're also getting the metals now, which amplify it. And so my viewpoint is you just start with detox. That's it. That's the place to start because it manifests in so many different ways. And we know that we're getting the metals now. I mean, that wasn't really understood for a long time. It wasn't really, nobody was looking for it. And when I got so sick, if I hadn't, you know, heard about chemtrails from various people, I probably never would have looked into it. But I did, and then that movie came out, What in the World Are They Spraying? And I went to Atlanta and saw a special filming of it or a showing of it, and then it just like hit me across the top of the head like, oh my gosh, that's what I was seeing. That those days when I was out there in the sun and the heat, and I was sweating and my pores were all open and everything, I got a hugely toxic load of those metals. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know that anyone necessarily on a regular basis would know about that stuff, because I heard about it on some different types of channels of information, because I am such a researcher, I get all this information, right? Most people wouldn't be exposed to that information, wouldn't even think to look there.
No.
So I was lucky. I saved myself.
Well, I mean, apparently you made the right diagnosis because you were exposed, you got sick, you figured out what it was, you did some things, you got well. And this is just, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking that this is just, you know, I guess I have to say, if you're hearing this for the first time I heard about chemtrails, I didn't even make any association that the chemicals were actually coming down to the earth and that how they were there, but they weren't affecting me. But they are affecting us, and mm-hmm. It took me a long time to make that association and a long time to just be able to see that and say, oh, my God, another toxic exposure, and what am I going to do about that? And
it boggles the imagination that would be happening. It's almost like you can't be serious. You know, why would they do that?
Well, why would they put toxic chemicals in all these products that we use in our homes every day? You know,
right.
And especially when there are other ways to do things. So
yeah.
It just is all kind of mind-boggling.
Well, I just know that if you live in this world today and you're not constantly detoxifying and constantly being aware of where the sources of this stuff are, then it's going to catch up to you, and it's going to do it one way or another. There's just no avoiding it. There's just no way that you can live a life on this planet right now without that exposure.
I completely agree with you. You know, I hadn't read that very famous book, Silent Spring, until I think it was about 3 years ago. It was when I was writing my book, Toxic Free. And right in Silent Spring, it talked about how they knew in 1944 that pesticides... In 1944, they knew that pesticides were ubiquitous in the world, that there was no place you could go on the planet where there wasn't pesticides. And so I was born. I mean, my mother already had pesticides and all these toxic chemicals in her body and passed them right on to me. So I was already born, and everybody who was born since 1944, it's been the case for everybody.
Yeah. Pretty scary.
We need to go to break.
We can do something
about it. It is pretty scary.
Yeah,
we can do something about it. We can't eliminate all those toxic chemicals in the sky without changing the mind of the government. But there are things that we can do in our own lives, and we're going to talk about that next. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest is Diane Dirks, and we'll be right back. Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Diane Dirks. We are talking about chemtrails. And Diane, so now let's talk about how we can remove these toxic chemicals from our bodies. I actually just during the break, I just emailed Igor at Pure Effect Advanced Filtration to find out if it's possible to remove nanoparticles from water.
Interesting. Well,
and so we'll see if he gets my email and emails back.
If just from my own research, I will say that it depends entirely on how much the nanoparticles have clumped together.
Yes,
if they're not clumped together, forget it. Nothing will stop it. But if they have had a chance to clump together, then some percentage of them will come out. Anyway, That brings up the interesting point. How do you get rid of this stuff? Well, the first thing you do is not get it in your body in the first place.
Right. That's
obviously
always the first thing.
Right. Filtering is that's drinking water that's pure. Washing your food you're not going to wash your meat, but any vegetables, you know, any grains or anything before they're made into flour, or anything where that's come off the garden or off a truck or out of a, you know, grocery store or whatever, wash your food. And the next thing is look, when you go outside, become aware, because that's one of the things I push the strongest with people. You have to be aware of your environment. And the first thing I do when I go outside is I look up, and I can tell whether there have been a lot of spraying, because there's going to be lines in the sky. And if there are lines in the sky, then I pretty much stay inside. If I have to be outside because I have a 93-bed garden, and
yes.
Sometimes I can't avoid it, I wear a wide-brimmed hat, and I put lotion on my skin, and then I wash it off later. And I want to make sure that I keep, you know, if I don't have children, but I have interns, and I tell them, don't let your kids outside when it's like that. Look up in the sky. And sometimes it's not the lines so much as these wide, broad, but rather straight-looking, flat-looking clouds. Those are the chemtrails as they broaden out, because they don't stay a line. Maybe they'll be up in the sky for 8 or 10 hours. They start off as a line or a bunch of dots. And then as time goes on, they get wider and fluffier, and sometimes they kind of look like a wing, you know, across the sky. If there's been a particularly heavy spraying, the whole sky is covered with it, but it doesn't look natural. It doesn't look fluffy like cumulus clouds and stuff.
Right.
So I just stay in if I can. And then I found that I had to form strategies of detoxifying. This was before I'd done a lot of research. This was when I was just feeling like crap and I didn't know what was going on. But I figured out it must be metals because of the way my body was acting. So I started taking detoxifying baths. Mm-hmm. And I, just as a basis, I would put a cup of Epsom salts and a cup of hydrogen peroxide in the water. Sometimes I'd add a quarter or half a cup of baking soda. And sometimes I'd add some essential oils, like, especially if it was my nerves were really on edge, I'd add a little lavender. And I would put a quarter of a teaspoon of vitamin C, like ascorbic acid, in the water because I have city water and it has fluoride in it. And so the vitamin C tends to clump onto the fluoride and it doesn't go into your body. But the Epsom salt is good because it's got magnesium and sulfur in it, which helps the body detoxify, and it replaces the magnesium. And one of the things about how your body absorbs those metals is if you're deficient in the key things like magnesium and calcium and zinc and some of that other stuff, your body will just grab onto any metal because it thinks that's going to replace what it doesn't have. So it's really important that you keep
that.
You make sure that you're not deficient in especially minerals. I take trace mineral.
And the other thing, magnesium. There's so many people are deficient in magnesium, and
yes.
So that's something that everybody should be taking.
That's right. Another thing that I did was because I know how important it is that some of the natural organic acids, especially one called glucuronic acid, which grabs onto metals and toxins in the liver and removes them, is kombucha tea. Kombucha tea is loaded with glucuronic acid, among other things. It also has a lot of the beneficial microorganisms that you need to have in your gut, and they also tend to pull off and eliminate the metals and stuff that come through the body. That's really important. And there's a stuff called zeolite, which is a type of clay. If you look at it in a microscope, it looks like Chex Mix, you know, that has all the little pores and holes in it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's negatively charged, and it grabs especially minerals, like the metals we're talking about. It attracts them, and it binds them, and then they're pulled out of the system. And you and I have talked about Touchstone Essentials. They have a zeolite compound in a liquid form. That's pretty good.
I just want to say that it's not a compound, and the reason why I want to say that is because there are some other zeolite products that mix things with their zeolite, and Pure Body doesn't. It's just pure zeolite and very pure water.
Well, thanks for clearing that up for me. But anyway, just know that zeolite is very important. Also, I would take diatomaceous earth and activated charcoal, which all have a very similar effect. And, you know, it just depends on what you have on hand or what you can get. Some people that are listening to this may not have access to certain things. But anything, another thing, too, is it's very important to drink chlorophyll or high chlorophyll fresh vegetable juice, which cleans the blood. I particularly like wheatgrass juice, but you can buy chlorophyll by the bottle and take it, or chlorella and spirulina tablets. They also are highly detoxifying. And another thing I have a friend who has an infrared sauna, and I would go in there and sweat, and the infrared, the energy goes about 2 or 3 inches into the body and pulls out toxins.
Yeah.
So that's really important. Or you can, if you can't get a hold of a sauna, you can purchase infrared lamps and set them over your bathtub. That's a similar thing, but it's probably not as clearly detoxifying as the sauna, because the sauna is also specifically making you sweat. But if you're in a tub and the water's not hot enough, you're not going to sweat. Another thing I just recently came across, too, was celery juice, which is a blood cleanser. A very good thing to drink, you know, just if you have a juicer, like you put a whole, not just a stalk, but a whole clump, the whole plant of celery, and drink about 16 ounces a day. That cleans out your blood and helps you clean that out of your body, too. But it's also important to take vitamin C And lipoic acid, alpha lipoic acid, there are several lipoic acids, but they're all really good. B12, magnesium, selenium, melatonin, an amino acid called glutathione, for especially if you have mercury and other heavy metals, glutathione is really important. And then there's this poor man's metal detox I came across, which is clay and cilantro. Cilantro is a natural detoxifying herb, and a tablespoon a day of that.
Yeah. I mean, there's been tests about this. This has been tested and found that it it removes heavy metals. It binds to them like zeolite. But you have to like cilantro.
Yes.
And yes, a lot of people don't. So it only takes a tablespoon a day?
Yeah, you can take it, you can dry it and put it in capsules, or get it in capsule or tablet form. You don't have to taste it. But one of the things that I learned in my research is oftentimes the reason people don't like the taste of it is because it's so strongly drawing out the poisons and toxins in your body that it actually changes how things taste to you. So a lot of times when people don't like the flavor.
Maybe it would also, I'm just thinking about this, that I've heard this before, that different people taste things in different ways depending on what their own body chemistry is.
Right.
And so I'm wondering if cilantro tastes good means you need it, and cilantro tastes bad means that you really, really need it.
I don't know, but it would be worth an experiment because it's such a good one, and it's inexpensive, so anybody can afford it. You know, you can grow it yourself. But
I love
that's
cilantro.
A really good one. Oh, me too. All these, there are different herbs, especially vitamin C. That's really important. And you can put vitamin C in your bath water, even, and it does help to knock out the presence of fluoride in the water, but also it has its own detoxifying. And then here's another thing that's really detoxifying, and that is coconut oil. I put it in my coffee every morning, along with my zeolite. I
eat a lot of coconut oil, too. Diane, we're getting to the end of the show, so I don't want the music to cut you off. Thank you so much for bringing all this information to us. You can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, and under archives, you can find more information about today's show. I've included some information there about links that you can get some of these detox products. I especially want to mention Herbalix Restorative, which is specifically for detoxing aluminum, So thank you so much, Diane.
You're welcome.
Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad. Be well.